Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening to the people on the East Coast, like me, and good afternoon to those on the West Coast. And my guest tonight is Pamela Sutz, and I'm sure that many of you know her. She is a talented actress, very beautiful lady, and hopefully we will be talking with her in just a minute. And it's
really hello.
Hello?
Yes?
Hello, can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Oh, wow. You can hear me?
Can you hear
That's
me?
That's interesting because, yes, I can.
I'm outside, actually. I'm walking in the house right now, so I didn't know if it was. I'm going in now.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, sorry about that. The reason why I was so surprised is because on my board, you didn't even show as being there, and that's why I was surprised that you answered. But I'm glad you are.
It said a New York number is what it said.
Well, yeah, that's the Blog Talk Radio, because I call Ohio, and I call into their stream, and then their stream calls you, and their stream is a New York number.
So, I see.
Oh, well. Yeah, it works very
well. I'm in the house
oddly.
Now, so it should sound a little different.
Okay. All right, so let me know when you're situated, because I don't want to, just jump at you if you're not sitting.
Wait. My dog's coming in now.
No.
Just getting situated.
What kind of a dog do you have?
A toy Manchester Terrier.
Aww.
If you know what that is. Kind of a unique dog. Yeah, there's not that many of them. I got them from the shelter.
Aww. Yeah, that's the kind of thing I like to do, get animals from shelters.
Yeah. Almost ready. Just a couple more seconds here. Take my shoes off, actually. And then you're going to go live, right?
Yeah. Yes, actually, we already are live. But nobody cares about you coming in and talking about your dog. Yeah, because the way that I have to do it, otherwise I end up with all kinds of trouble, is I have to call at a specific time or else I have to start all over again. And one night it took like an hour for me to get in the stream. So I didn't want to have to do that.
Okay. I'm set now.
Okay. I was going to ask you the standard, how old you were when you decided that you wanted to be in the filmmaking business.
Oh, I thought you were going to ask me how old I am right now. I was like,
No.
So, yeah, all that. So you kind of wonder who you are in high school already. I think I would describe myself as an athletic person. So I was into sports, but I was kind of I had this performing ability in me. I was a diver off the springboard diver. So I started I didn't start that way, but that's what I did in high school. And you're kind of searching for what you want to do. And then after high school, I dancing and decided I wanted to perform, do the performing arts. And then I moved to New York, probably in my early 20s. And from there, I just did a lot of different things, dancing, little, independent theater type things. And then I started acting and got into some film productions like Wave. And eventually started my own little production business as well.
Is that the Siren Tales Productions?
Yes, Siren Tales Productions. So I had that for a while. And I've made a number of movies, like web series, little independent shorts, as well as a number of features. And it's sirentales.com, sirentales.com. And I've had some success with it, with building some following. People like to download these really unique, independent budget movies. So I kept it throughout the years, and I do that, you know, on the side, as well as I still act in other people's independent film productions, and I'm also just a legitimate photographer as well. So I just have enough to keep me busy.
Oh, cool. Well, when you're in the independent film business, you really have to be able to do a bunch of different things, because you never know what you're going to be doing from one minute to the next.
Exactly. So I never tied myself down to a full-time job. I kind of made it work where I was able to just be a freelancer and just bounced around all over the place. So I didn't have to, you know, limit myself with anything. I could just kind of be spontaneous.
Well, that's probably how you've done so well, is because you were willing to do that.
I guess. I mean, so well is, you know, somebody's perspective on what so well is. But, I mean, yeah, I feel like I've done pretty well in the matter of, you know, enjoying life and doing what you want to do on a daily basis. I think that's the most important thing anyway, because what do we have is just this day.
Right, exactly. Yeah, from my perspective, it sounds kind of funny, I guess, but when I say so well, I'm talking about, like, the full thing. Like, you're doing so well with your life, with your movie things, because you've got tons of credits. So, obviously, people like your work, or else they wouldn't ask you to be in their projects. That's the kind
of
thing.
Yeah, so well-rounded. I feel I'm well-rounded.
Yes, I would agree with that you are very
mm-hmm.
well-rounded. Now, there's these two movies that I wanted to ask you about. Rana and the Vengeance of Ilsa Von Todd, and then Rana, Queen of the Amazon. Now, the main reason why I wanted to ask about them is because Queen of the Amazon, you have a credit for Snake Handler, and really that's what I wanted to hear about. But you could talk about both of them if you want.
Wow, those were really old. And they were probably mm-hmm. one of the first movies that I was a lead in, carried the whole film. It was a Wave production. And, of course, they were very budget. But when you look back at them now, when I look at those, they do remind me of a lot of those 70s horror movies. And we were in the 90s making those. But Gary,
mm-hmm.
he kind of seemed like he was either ahead of his time or behind the time. I just mentioned this in another interview. So it's like he knew, like, I'm going to make these look old, even though we're in the 90s and we were shooting them to look like the 70s. And now it's like working for him. Because when I look at them, I'm like, hey, these are like cool. Like, they're like, I really like these a lot more than I did when we made them. You know what I mean? Because they look old now, but they look even older than they are. The
right.
Snake Handler, maybe he was just being nice, because I don't remember being much of a snake handler. And if it was, I'm sure it was a fake snake. So why would I remember that unless it was a real snake? But I did like a lot of the Rana. It was scripted pretty nicely, and you know, it was one of the first things I did. And when I look back at it now, I'm like, oh, wow, look at that. Tina was in it and Debbie D. And we always had a great time shooting together.
Yeah, that's a great group. I had Debbie D. on the show. She's a really good interviewee.
Mm-hmm.
Another one I wanted to ask you about was Backwoods Marcy. And now that one, I've seen it, and I actually like this movie quite a bit. And
me too.
And I really like your character, and of course the reason why I like your character is because you play her so well. So I'll let you talk about Backwoods Marcy.
That was Dawn and Dave Castiglione's film from Sharky way back. That was mm-hmm. old also. I think Dawn did a lot of the production. I'm not sure. Yeah, I came up with this Southern accent with that character, and I really like that whole movie. It's so old, but when I look, I mean, I remember that one line that I was saying in my Southern accent, like, I'm a classy woman. I'm a classy woman. You'd have to see the movie. Yeah, I really like it. I don't know what else to say about it.
Well, yeah, you know, sometimes that's all you can say is that you liked it, because everybody's got their own thing about what they want to say about different things. So that's fine with me. What about the Gosh Darned Mortgage from 2001?
Okay, that is my production. That is a Siren Tales production. And it is like a Perils of Pauline type of movie where it's a 1920s period piece. Of course, it's a budget. Mm. Tina Krause and Debbie D are also both in that. And I was happy how that also came out. I mean, that was my first feature film that I made by myself. You can actually download it and purchase the download at SirenTales.com. And it didn't really get the recognition that I think it should have gotten, because it was mostly just where it wasn't distributed, but you can purchase it right from my website, and it still is available. But it will also be available on After Hour Cinema, WGUD-TV, which is located in Mississippi, because they're going to play a lot of my movies now. I don't have the date on that yet, but they'll play that. So it will get out there a little bit more in the world. It's like a movie of perilous predicaments where it has the three perilous incident things, like the railroad tracks where you're tied to the railroad tracks and the train's coming. I managed to do that, and it came out pretty good, where the train looked like it was going to hit me, but I did it without the train coming at me. But anyway, that and the bomb, where the bomb goes off and the buzz saw. So it's like, that's why it's like a Perils of Pauline type movie, 1920s. So hopefully people will see it. Yeah, that's it. The Gosh Darn Mortgage. Look for it. Go to SirenTales.com if you want something unique like that.
Yeah, I used to love those. Actually, I still watch them sometimes when they're on the cable, The Perils of Pauline. I love those.
But it will be on cable, actually, because a lot of my movies are being picked up by WGUD After Hours Cinemas TV, so I should have my own Roku channel where they're going to play a lot of these movies, so it will be available. And also, I know that After Hours Cinema is downloaded by a lot of independent cable companies throughout the country, so they're going to be playing it, which brings up Tracked. That is my newest feature, about a 2016 or so largest production that I ever made, and it is going to be played October 23rd, and it will be played throughout the country with the cable companies that have downloaded After Hour Cinema, but you can simulcast it on Facebook with After Hour Cinema, WGUD-TV, if you look for that. I'm excited about that, to be playing that movie Tracked.
Well, tell us what that's about, the movie Tracked.
I made that that's the most recent large production that I made. And it is a sci-fi movie, and it's about, get this, guys, you're going to hate this. It's about a woman that inserts a camera inside her cheating boyfriend's head and is able to watch his every move on her computer. So he's out doing his stuff, and she's watching him on the computer, and then she decides that she doesn't like what he's doing. So she kicks him out of the house, but he still has this thing inserted inside his brain. So when he leaves the house, she can still watch his every move on the computer. So he goes to live with some new girlfriend, but she's still watching. So that's pretty much the tagline.
Yeah, I'm sure guys won't like that, but that's okay. Who cares?
Well, it can happen
to
anybody
like
these
that.
Days.
Yeah, and you had written that, and you directed it as well, didn't you?
Yeah, and I starred in it. It was quite a project. Took me a while. I mean, we did some rewrites. I had a partner, and he's a really good shooter and editor. He was the one that edited it, and we still work together, Volano Visions, and we're working on a project right now together. So that's how I was able to pull that together, be able to, you know, star in it and produce it, direct it at the same time.
Well, cool. It sounds like it'll be a really good movie. I'll make sure that I try to see that.
Yeah, whatever you can also download that on my SirenTales.com website.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, I'm going to have to check out that website. Sounds like there will be a lot of cool things on there. And for the people listening, that once again, that's SirenTales.com.
SirenTales.com. And I'll mention that the most popular movies that I have produced and made with Siren Tales throughout the years, I do a lot of body swap, morph-type movies, and I have a market for that. I have, like, followers, and a lot of them are pretty good. So that would be, like, genetics. You can actually see – that's a short, 30-minute short. You could see that on YouTube if you look it up, Siren Tales, for free right on my YouTube channel. And I made Transformed. That's a feature-length movie. You can get that on my website. And I made the Gift series that has done very well. And I'm on a new one called Soul Traveler, where the soul will leave the body and go to a new body. And it's kind of a curse where the soul is in the body, but they only have 6 weeks to live in that body. So they have to get out of the body and go to a new body, or else they're going to die and go to hell. But if they get to the new body, the problem is when they get to the new body, they have to kill somebody to get to that new body. So it kind of weighs on their soul eventually, and they don't want to be able, they don't want to keep killing people so that they can live. So I'm actually almost finished with the first segment of that half hour short. It will be a web series. It will continue. That's my newest venture. And I didn't, it's not promoted yet. I just want to make sure that I'm completely ready. It's pretty much 80% finished the first half hour short. So look out for that, because it's going to be, information will be available very shortly on it.
Oh, cool. Yeah, you've got a lot of good stuff coming up.
Yeah, I guess. For now, I've been busy. COVID work, I just was like, you know what? The tables turned, and now here we are. I make the best use of my time, so I started doing more things. So I do want to mention After Hours Cinema, because I am a regular TV host now for that channel. It's a Mississippi TV channel, and it's also simulcast throughout the country and downloaded throughout the country. And I have a segment with Monica Hayes, my acting partner, and we do lessons learned. So we're watching a lot of black and white and 70s classic features, horrors, and we give our lessons learned on it. Like, maybe you shouldn't have walked down in the basement when it was completely dark and there was no electric. So we critique it and say, why did you do this? It was so stupid. That's our lessons learned segment. And now we just went to New Orleans, and we're hosting a lot of their TV shows because they're starting new ones. So they're starting Black and White Fright Nights, where Monica Hayes and I are the hosts, the main hosts, and they're starting 70s Grind Out, where we're also the hosts for that. So we have a lot of like old classic 70s black and white films, and we're hosting those shows, and we already have a lot of the first segments of all of that finished. So that was exciting.
Wow.
We did all the shoots for that.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, you brought that up before I even got a chance to mention it, but that's okay. I don't care who mentions it, because I was going to ask you about that after hours cinema. So this is a regular thing that you do every week?
Yeah, we just, when we went down there, because we traveled down there, we did about five of the movies that are going to be coming up with each one. We did a lot of content when we were down there. So we have our everything finished. So they're going to start it on Roku, and it's going to be called Fear Flicks, the channel for that.
Oh.
And they didn't start it yet. It's not, you know, of course I'll promote it when it does come out. I think it's going to start 2021 when we start putting out the new releases of those two shows.
Ah, wow. Well, for you, things have, I'm not saying that COVID was a good thing for you. I'm just saying it just changed the way that you had to do things. And now you've got all this stuff going on. Which
yeah,
is good.
It's true. It opened up a few things for me. I mean, you say, well, I lost this. What can I do instead? You can always make use of your time. And I did another feature during COVID, the COVID features. And it was called Camp Murder. I went away for that in Pennsylvania. And that's pretty well scripted. It was a really fun little budget horror Jason type movie. You can look out for that. It should be released. I'm not sure when, but I think they have distribution lining up now for it. And the other one that is being distributed that has just recently released was Evil Under the Skin. I play a counselor type, and that is released on Dish, Vudu, iTunes, Amazon. It's actually pretty good for a budget movie.
Oh. And what is that one about? I mean, I kind of can get the gist of it from the name, but just give like a short
It was a psychological thriller. A psychological thriller. And it was Helene Udy is the main star of that movie. She has a lot of credits under her belt.
Yeah,
and,
I love her.
And it's like she kind of goes, she's a psycho, or we think she's a psycho. We're not sure if she's a psycho. Is she crazy or is she not? When she has a relationship with her daughter and she goes camping with her and she's wondering because weird things are happening. It's really good. I liked it. It was written by Luc Bernier. He's been writing a lot of stuff. And Jeff Schneider was the one that directed it and produced it with Luke. They were great to work with. We had a beautiful location in Oregon. So I would check it out. It's nice.
Wow. Yeah, it does sound like it'd be something that I'd like to watch. I like that kind
of
stuff.
Oh, look it up then, for sure.
I will.
Mm-hmm.
One of my recent guests, she had one of those psychological things that she had made, and I just watched that one. It was like, oh, that was so good.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'm interested in those, especially if it's got a little bit of a twisty type thing in it. Not all of them do, and it doesn't have to have it, but I do like those kinds.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's another one that you made called Soulless 2 Sanctuary. And so what's that about?
Wait, what is that again?
Soulless 2 Sanctuary. I got it off IMDb, and they do have wrong information.
Oh, Soulless, okay. Yeah. Yeah, that was an entire large series, and he was trying to get it off the ground, but I don't think he was able to completely to where it's, you know, he wanted it to be. Yeah, I don't have that much to say about it. I know it's in my reel. I'm sorry.
Aww. Yeah, well, I mean, that's sad all the way around. I mean, not that you don't have much to say about it. I mean, that actually is sad, but sad for the reasons that you said. So, but we'll,
and
I'll just
sad that
on.
I don't remember. All right, I don't remember completely my character.
Well, it's like what I've said to other people that I've had on the show, or even just people I'm chatting with on Facebook. Most people, and I actually don't know of anybody that expects an actor to remember every single role they've ever done.
Unless it's like really a high budget and you're on the set for, you know, weeks or months at a time. But a lot of times I do a lot of different things and I whip it out quick. Not all of them, but a lot of them.
Right, yeah. And when you do a lot of them at a time, even when they're the bigger budget movies, that you, if you start cracking them out, you may not be able to remember all of them.
Yeah, it's hard to because you're...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, because you're focusing on what you're doing at the time. And there's always so
right.
much energy that you have to be focusing on what you are actually doing that you kind of start getting about what you did.
Well, yeah, and I can totally understand that, how that would just, like, throw you off because you're, okay, I'm doing this, and I'm going to think about this right now. I don't have to think about it 10 years from now. And then
mm-hmm.
10 years later, you've got somebody asking you about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, and you do forget it. That's what Facebook is for and all these photos and Instagram. That way we can look back at the pictures and remember. Otherwise, you can't remember anything.
Well, nobody really expects you to remember things. I mean, there are the fans that will come up, and I'm sure that you've had them do this, where they'll come up to you and say, hey, I liked you in such and such a movie, and, oh, well, how did you, what did you have to do to get ready for that character? Ask you all these questions, you don't even remember the thing. One of my guests had that with a TV show that she was on, and she had people coming up to her and asking her about specific episodes. Yeah, okay, the show was on in the 70s. I don't think she's going to remember every single little episode she was in.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, even if it was on in the 90s, she probably wouldn't remember every single episode. I mean,
yeah.
But most people don't expect that. Like, if I ask you about something, you say, well, I don't remember it. I just move on. I was like, well, I understand. So I wanted to ask you, simply because I like the name of this movie, Swamp Zombies.
Okay, that I remember. That one's easy to remember. That was a Killer Wolf Films. If anybody's, I know a lot of people are familiar with Killer Wolf Films, Len Kabasinski. So, yes, I used to date him during that time, or actually right after that time. He's talented, and he whips them out, and he's doing well. Swamp Zombies, that was his first feature. So, he did a number of them after that, like Curse of the Wolf, I was in that, and a couple others. I was also in Skull Forest and Warriors of the Apocalypse. So there were a number of them. He puts his heart and soul into all these features, and they're good. I think they are. There's a lot of martial arts in them, which I have a lot of training in that, so it's always nice to be able to use it in movies. I don't know what else to say about Killer Wolf Films, but if you're familiar with them, I'm sure you know a lot of their productions, and he's always whipping more new movies out, and they're getting better and better.
Yeah, I agree with you, because I've seen a few of them, so I do
know
about them.
Yeah, from the older ones to the newer ones, to what we're able to do, what we're capable of doing, and how we're able to make the movies look better and better with the equipment that we have available at, like, you know, without, you know, having a multi-million dollar crew behind us the whole time.
Right, right. Well, you had mentioned being a cinematographer earlier, so I'm going to bring this one up because I see that you were cinematographer and editor in it. Moments in Life, and that was a short. So tell us about that one.
You know what? Wow, I can't. You researched me because that was something that I was like, that was from an acting school. And he did a lot of little shorts. They had it planned out. We did little shorts. They rented a house. Everybody had their scenes. And then they meshed it together, and they produced it and distributed it, however they did. I'm not sure. But that's how you found that. Yeah, that's what I did. I shot it, and I edited it for them. It was actually good back then. It wasn't that long ago, maybe 5-6 years ago.
Yeah, on IMDb, I think they had it at 2016.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh.
It was just a little side project, staying busy, paying the bills.
Well, yeah.
Meeting people.
Yeah.
Working with new talent.
And making your connections, working with new people. Yeah, you might as well. I mean, especially if you're asked to do it, why not do it? Unless you're doing something else where you can't do it, that's different.
Yeah, I'm located right out of Manhattan, so I have a lot of little side things that just might come my way just from the location itself.
So what about this fake news short from 2018?
Oh, okay. Yep. That's not so old. I'm very happy with that. That, again, is another Siren Tales little short that you can download. I think it's only like maybe 25 minutes long, but I'm happy with it. But somebody, I had somebody that actually wanted to have their script made. So they hired me as the production company to make their little short. And it's about a newscaster. The reason why it's called fake news is not the same fake news that we all know, but it was a newscaster, a beautiful woman that is beautiful, and everything about her was just fake. And it's a comedy, and she was trying to take down this whorehouse. So I'm playing the madam. And she's like, oh, you know, everything's wrong with this, everything's wrong with that. But then later you find out how fake she is with all her eyelashes and her boobs. It's just a ridiculous comedy. But actually, I love it. I love it. The dialogue in it, the guy that wrote it, it has clever dialogue. And it's a clever story. It's just about probably the world today on, you know, how fake it can be or how real it can be. So it's just a little fun short. Go download it if you want to see it.
I love stuff like that. So that would be one that I would want to see.
Yeah,
I
like
a little comedy.
You would
like
I loved it. I loved acting in it because he it was very scripted. So I had to rehearse a while with the lead actress, and then I played the secondary lead, and we had such a nice time just rehearsing it because of the dialogue. It was just so nice to be able to feel each other's vibes and work off of each other's expressions. I loved it.
Oh, good. I always like when people have positive experiences. Yeah, and I was hoping that Dave, you know, speaking of Dave Castellone, I was hoping that he would call. He still may call in, because he said he was hoping he'd get a chance to call in and talk with you for a couple minutes on the air. And I've been holding off the Deep Undead so that we could talk about it when he was here. So I'll still hold off on that for at least a few minutes or so, and then we'll just start talking about it. And if he calls, he calls, and if he doesn't, he doesn't, because he's at work. So, but I did want to ask you about that documentary for Wave Productions, The Mail Order Murder, The Story of Wave Productions.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I kind of know about it, but what did you do for that documentary?
They came over and they interviewed me, and we just did a very candid type interview. And I'm looking forward till they release it. It's taking a while, but it's very interesting. I just spoke about, you know, the background stuff and all the movies that we did through the years. And just the fact that Gary seemed ahead of his time or behind the time, like I said before, when he would make these things, you know, it was like they became really popular under, you know, a certain followers that he, you know, accumulated through the years. So
right.
He seemed to know what he was doing, because they're still popular. People find them and they're like, wow, what's this?
Right. And I do believe that Dave is on the air now, or at least on the line. Are you there, Dave?
I am. Hello.
Hi, Dave.
Hello.
Hi. Hello there. Hi. Hi, Pam. Hi, Mac. How are you both tonight?
Good.
I'm okay.
I can't believe it's been a year already, Pam, since the screening. Can you?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah, it's coming up.
Well,
on
I can
the year,
believe
I
it. The years go by so quick.
Yeah, they sure do. They sure do. Yeah, well, I only have a few minutes because I actually am still at work. I already had my dinner break, so I'm just kind of like had a little bit of downtime, so I wanted to call and say hi. So sounds like you're doing very well, keeping pretty busy, Pam.
Yeah, yeah. It's easy to keep busy, right?
Yeah,
there's always something
yeah,
you got to do.
Well, that's true. That's true. Not always easy keeping busy at the things we want to do. That's the challenge I face, I think.
Yeah.
But you know what I wanted to ask you, though, about the After Hours Cinema? Is there an app or platform that I could use, like Roku or Hulu, to actually watch, like, so I didn't have to go through Facebook? I know you sent me a link a couple times
I
to
think
watch
right
that
now.
With-
They're establishing the entire thing on Roku, and it's going to be called FearFlix, and there's going to be new shows, because Monica and I just went to New Orleans, and we did a whole bunch of segments for the new TV shows that they're putting together. So right now, I think it's just After Hours Cinema and the simulcast and, you know, our little lessons learned thing that's thrown in there. And then what happens is that all the cable companies throughout the country, if they want to download that show and, you know, add that to their regular TV, they do. And there's a lot of them. There's like a whole – I have the schedule of the people that are showing it. So there are actually a lot. So it is building up. But when FearFlix starts 2021 – there's going to just be a lot more that's being put out there.
Okay, so is it available now on Roku, or it's not there yet?
Not yet for Roku. It's going to be like a 2021, but a lot of the shooting and the hosting positions that I did for the new shows are already put together.
Great, yeah, because I was wondering if I wanted to, like, watch, like, past episodes, because it's just Friday night, right? That's when you air once a week.
Yeah, but you can go to the WGUD TV, and you can watch all those past episodes. It'll be right there on, they have their own Facebook page, so you can go ahead and watch the old episodes.
So do they have like a website?
Yeah, they have that too.
I was wondering if it had to be through Facebook or not, because I have a problem. Facebook, I'm having a lot of issues with Facebook. That's why I'm asking. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you could search for it. WGUD, Mississippi. It's a regular cable TV, you know, channel, so they play a lot of other things besides the after-hour cinemas. They have, like, regular news and all kinds of other shows.
Great. Well, I will definitely check that out more so I can see more of those episodes.
The after-hour cinema.
it looks like a lot of fun. So you're having fun
with it? Yeah, it is. I like putting it together.
That's great.
You guys sound like old buddies from like 20, 30 years ago.
I'm sure we know each other that long.
Yes, it's been a lot of years. We all started, and I think I might mention this with Tina, we all started working with Wave on Wave movies. That was like part of our regular crew was Pam, Tina.
Yeah, it's almost weekly.
Yeah.
Weekly for a long time. Every other week,
It was pretty much lots of them. I can't even remember half the titles. I'm sure you probably can't remember half the titles. You did a lot more than me. But, yeah, it's crazy how time flies.
And we were just getting ready to talk about Deep Undead. But you probably have to
great.
Go. I'm not trying to rush you off. You stay as long as you like.
No. I'm good for a couple more minutes. But if there's, you know, anything specifically you might want me to add while we're, you know, while you and Pam talk about it, I certainly will jump in if I have a chance. Like I said, I think maybe a couple more minutes I'm good for. But
yeah, me too. You know.
Great.
Okay, so why don't we start talking about the Deep Undead, and then Dave can jump in if he's got something to say.
Dave can jump in. That was a while ago. I loved my character, and I loved all the underwater scenes that we did, but it's Dave's baby. He should say what he wants to say about it.
We did touch a little bit about, because I was, I don't know if you know, Mac had interviewed me a while back, Pam, and we did talk a little bit about the movie. But, God, it has been a long time. We started shooting it in 2001, actually. I remember Dawn was pregnant at the time, you know, we were married and she was pregnant. And I was doing a lot of the underwater stuff, so we pretty much shot the underwater scenes, at least the most complicated scenes, first before we shot any of the stuff, like with Pam and the other actors and characters in the movie. I thought Pam's part was a very big part, and she deserves a lot of credit. That there were some difficult lines, Pam, that you did. It was some heavy dialogue that you had to do, so I don't know how you got through that, but it was a lot.
Maybe you can tell us how she got through it.
I'm sure it was, I think it was just, I'm fine, memorized.
It was a lot of, it almost was the type of thing, I guess, like for an actual news reporter, you would have the little teleprompter.
Yeah, and we didn't have a teleprompter.
Yeah, we didn't have a teleprompter.
But
so
I'm
going to
get one now. I'm getting one now because of After Hour Cinema.
Oh, that's great. That's good. Well, that's a help. Because, she had to remember all those lines. So I don't know how she did it, but she did it. And, there was a lot of action, too. Especially towards the end, she had a lot of action sequences there. And I think I remember her having the most fun with when we shot in the pool, kind of like a tank with the boat. and my nieces who were both in the movie, so she got to know them well. So they were some that was some difficult shooting, but it was a lot of fun. I think that was probably my favorite stuff in the movie, and yeah, next to the underwater sequences I really liked. And I think everybody over the years that has seen it has told me that was their favorite part. You know, the how the end with the boat on the water, how that came out. So I don't think most people realize it was actually shot in a little swimming pool.
Don't tell them.
Oh, you just ruined it for a lot of people. I'm just kidding.
No, you know what? I'm starting to think if this movie ever gets distributed, by the time it does, no one's going to remember. If anybody's even listening to this, nobody's going to remember. You know what I'm saying? So I don't think I'll spoil it yet, but I'm just, yeah, it's really been, it's like in distribution limbo, so it's been such a long time.
Yeah.
And that's a shame, because it's a good movie. I've seen it.
Thank you, thank you. So, I mean, it is in the hands of distributors. It's just going really slow, and I'm not really hearing, you know, I know a lot of it is because of everything going on, you know, with the COVID and everything. So, you know, what can I do? It's like everywhere you go, it's affecting everything, so... But, yeah, I'm being patient and just hoping that, you know, hoping it still happens. I haven't heard either way, you know, like, you know, I was told it was still going to happen. I don't have any information about when, but it's out of my hands now. I don't have, like, you know, of course I still have the rights to it. It's just, you know, it's out of my hands in terms of this distributor and it getting done. But it is going to be, a lot of people don't know this, so I think it's okay to reveal this. It is going to be released on Blu-ray, which I'm really excited about because I've never had a movie on a Blu-ray before. So I will leave you with that, and I'm going to actually – my coworker actually needs my help, so I'm going to have to go, sadly. But it's been great talking to you both, no matter how brief.
Well, thank you for
calling
in. Yeah,
great. Thanks. Yeah, thanks, Dave. And
yeah,
hopefully
you too,
we'll
Pam.
Speak again soon.
Absolutely. Keep me posted, and best of luck with the
okay.
You know, the new gig with the TV show. That sounds great. I'd love to hear more about how it's going.
Okay. Thanks.
No problem. And best wishes as always, Mac, and another great show.
Thank you. Oh, thank you. And have a good night at work.
Thanks. I'm going to do my best.
Okay.
Take care.
Yeah, you too.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye. Oh, that was fun.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, he's gone now. Okay, so we got to talk about that, Deep Undead. And that was a good movie. And he's right. You were really, really good in that movie. And I'm not just saying that because you're on the show.
I'll have to check it out again.
Yeah, because I actually was wondering about that, if you had actually memorized those lines or if you had, like, a teleprompter or something, and that was all answered for me right in the
I'm
conversation.
I'm sure there wasn't a teleprompter, but I think probably what happens is that we do editing. Miracles of editing. You remember as much, and you cut to something else and cut back.
Yeah, but still, you know, you can take credit where it's due because you did do a really good job.
Thank you.
Oh, you're quite welcome. Now, there's another one. Okay, we already talked about that one. Jim of the Dead. It's like in
pre-production.
Okay,
that I don't. Yeah, that's in pre-production. So I don't know about that. I signed on for it, so hopefully it's going to happen. I guess it's what they're waiting on to see COVID funding, you know, details, locations, all of that. But signed on for it, so hopefully it will end up happening eventually.
And then is it pretty much the same deal for From the Mind Comes the Darkness?
Yes, that I think that's a Luke's film, so that also is kind of just pending. So you never know. Yeah,
I kind of thought it might be that because when they say pre-production, especially, you know, during COVID, it's
yeah, pending. Yeah.
But at least these things sound interesting, because, I mean, like, just the names, Gym of the Dead. You're going to put it in a gym.
Yeah, I'm sure it's going to be a comedy.
Well, yeah, that, it sounds like it, but it would be really funny if it's not a comedy.
It will be. If I'm in it, it will be. I'll make it a comedy. That's what I always did. I'm like the wave movie. All right, what are you trying to make this? All right, it's going to be a comedy.
You did have a couple of funny things that you did in Deep Undead. That's like, man, because that was like the first thing I had seen you in. And, well, I mean, actually, it wasn't the first thing I've seen you in. Let me put it another way. You know how sometimes you'll see somebody in a movie and you're thinking to yourself, oh, they're good, but you don't know who they are. And so then a couple years later, you see them in a movie where they have a bigger part, and you're like, oh, yeah, they were in that movie. I remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was that kind of a thing where I had seen you in something, actually a couple of somethings, and then I saw you in Deep Undead, and I'm like, oh, yeah, she was in. And then I was thinking about the other things that I had seen you were in, and I was thinking, wow, she's really good. Because you were like,
thanks.
And you were funny. I was laughing
thanks.
At, you know, your
I like
character,
to create ridiculous
character.
Characters. That's my thing. I just like to do that. I don't ever want to play normal. I want to play a nutcase.
You did a pretty good case of that in that Backwoods Marcy, too.
Yeah, definitely. That's why it's one of my favorites. I'm like, okay, you want me to be on? I can create my own nutcase right here. I feel like I'm way more realistic playing a nutcase than a normal person.
Well, just so people can know about these things, it's actually good to mention them, because then if they come about, then people will be ready for them. There's another one that has been, it's just been announced, at least according to IMDb. Shoot 'em, hang 'em, burn 'em. I like
okay,
the name of that.
Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, that's a Western, but that's a definitely pending. In fact, I hope they delete it, because I think they were having problems trying to get it off the ground. So they should just delete it so that people aren't following it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that kind of thing happens a lot, too.
Yeah, but I did do that movie with Hector De La Russo. Can't pronounce his last name right now because I'm not seeing it. But he did that Friday the 13th parody, The Final Craptor, and I did do that with him, with Monica Hayes, and it's just a little web thing, but it has probably close to 2 million views. It's like a Jason Friday the 13th parody, and I'm really happy with it. It's really fun and gets so many views. So that's who was produce that movie, The Final Craptor. Craptor, not chapter. Craptor.
Yeah, I like the name of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Hector De La Rosa.
Yeah, that one's good to see. He's good.
Well, now I'm going to have another one that I have to check out. So that one is available to watch?
Yeah, you can go just search it, and it's about a 20-minute short right on YouTube. It's popular.
Oh.
Has so many views, 2 million now.
Wow, that's cool. I'm going to have to definitely check that one out, because I like the parodies of the different killer shows.
Yeah, definitely watch that. I think you'll like it. I like it, and I'm in it, and usually you hate the things you're in.
Well, and in some ways I can understand it in some ways, because it's like, okay, I did this, and I don't like seeing myself.
People seeing yourself.
Like watching themselves.
Well, you do.
So
when
everybody's
after
different.
Like 4 or 5 years pass, and then you go look at it again, and you're like, oh, wow, that was much better than I thought.
Yeah, there's been quite a few of that. One of my guests, they were talking about some movie they had made, and I said, well, you know, I really liked that movie. That was a good movie, and you were good in it, And just about everything was good about it, because I rated it, because I'm a semi-professional critic, movie critic, and I had critiqued his movie. And I use a 0 to 5 star system, and I gave his 3.5. Now, in a way, that doesn't sound like much, but it actually is, because it's above average. But it was a war movie, and generally speaking, I don't like war movies. So I already went into it thinking, oh, it's a war movie. But I was genuinely surprised at how much I liked it, and so I did get 3.5. And he was, like, elated, because I guess some other people had given it really low ratings. You know how those haters do.
Mm-hmm.
They want to give...
Trolls.
They want to give...
Lots of trolls.
Yeah, they want to give... Yeah, they want to give every movie a really low rating, a 1
mm-hmm.
or something. Yeah, I don't do that. The way that I rate movies, there's no way you're going to get lower than a 1, or probably not even get a 1 at all, because I start with a 1, because just because you went to make the movie, just for the effort, you're going to get a 1. And
mm-hmm.
then everything else... Yeah, everything else after that adds on to it. Like if the acting is good, if cinematography, and everything adds on to get you your stars or partial stars. And the only time that I really couldn't give anybody a good rating, luckily they didn't ask me for a star rating. They just asked me what I thought of the movie, which I was afraid to say anything about it. But I was totally honest, and I said it had – the best special effects I have ever seen in quite a long time, and that includes in big budget movies. And it was totally the truth that the special effects were like out of this world. It was like a trippy movie where this guy was going, he actually was going on a trip because he had taken all of this acid and stuff. And but it was done so well, better than big budget movies. So I was being totally honest, and he was satisfied with that answer, so luckily I didn't have to say anything else, because everything else about it I didn't like. But
yeah, well, people don't realize the extent that these movies take to even make. It's just so much work, and if you're on a budget, it's even double the work. Because there are people that are going to watch it and criticize it, and I mean, there's people that are making it, you know.
Well, yeah, I don't like to. I mean, yes, I'm a critic, but I don't actually like to criticize. What I do when I write my reviews is I'll tell the stuff that I like about it. That's what I
mm-hmm.
do.
Yeah.
And then if there's something in there that I don't like or I don't particularly care about, then I'll say, well, if you like this kind of thing, then you'll probably really love this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically what I do. I don't trash movies. Even if I don't like them, I don't trash them.
Mm-hmm.
So we're down to 90 seconds now anyway because we got
oh,
to talk.
Oh, okay. That's good. Wow, we had
a
long show. I can go to the bathroom now.
Well, I guess better let you go. But before you go, I just let the whoever might be listening, the best way for them to contact you.
Just go to SirenTales.com, or you can find me personally on my Facebook and follow me, or follow me on Instagram because I need more followers there anyway. I mean, it's easy to contact anyone these days, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
And is there anything that you want to say in closing? Because we've got like maybe 30 seconds.
No, I think I covered almost everything. It was a lot.
Okay.
A whole hour worth.
Yeah, well, it was a pleasure having you.
Yeah,
and,
thank you so much.
Oh, well, you're welcome, and thank you, because you had to take time out of your busy schedule just to come on my show, and I do appreciate it. So stay safe. And give your dog a little kiss for me. I love dogs. So have a good night.
Okay. You too.
Oh, thank you. Goodbye.
All right. Bye.